Not heard no more than a few. Well, welcome to this class. This is a virtual class, is what it's called. I think maybe a better term would be something like a math class simulation or something like that. I'll be honest, I've never done one of these before. Well, not quite in this way. But Joe told me sort of how it's done and said it's something they do at the Western Fellowship Institute. Maybe some of you have been there. And so I'll go over the basic format as I have planned, and then we'll get into it. So my plan here is to, I've got three teachers lined up to teach a little mini math class. So I need some students. You can be thinking about that. And then a few of you will be teachers. And I'm not looking for, we're not going to have time for a full-blown, you know, working through worksheets and that sort of thing. This is very much, you know, maybe how do you open the class? How do you introduce the concept? What board work might you do? Whatever y'all have planned, those of you that have been thinking about this. Those of you that are going to be the students, y'all can be students and put yourself back into fourth, fifth, or sixth grade. I would say the focus of this, though, is the math class, the teaching of the math concept, and not necessarily testing your teacher's classroom management skills. So just keep that in mind. That's a different workshop. The rest of you do have an assignment, though, as well, and that is what I'd like for you to do while you're watching the teachers teach is I'd like for you to be jotting down some notes, thinking. I'd like for you to specifically think about one thing that you, at least one thing, that you see them doing that you like, and be willing to talk about that. What's something that you like, that you want to put into practice? And then maybe if you have questions for them too, like why did you do this? Or maybe not even for them, but just for the group. Is that the best way to do it? I'm not necessarily looking for like critical remarks, but we can discuss techniques and stuff here. My plan is to have all three teachers go ahead and do their little class just back to back. We'll see how much time we have. If we look like we'll have plenty of time, we can. I only have three lined up, but if some of you want to pick a topic and try your hand at it, we'll see if we have time. And then we'll spend 15 or 20 minutes just kind of open discussion. So, the teachers that are planning to teach are, there's a variety of experience here, so that's good. Savina, you've taught for what, 16 years? Is that what I see? What's that? 18? Okay, great. And then Dolores, how about you? 7. And Jeffrey? 1. Okay, so I like that. I'm glad that we've got a range of experience here. How many of you looking on here, is this your first year going into the classroom? Okay, so you've got some things to learn from people with experience here. And even if you've been teaching for 20 years, there's always things to learn. I need 4 students. Whoever gets to the seats first can be a student. Don't hurt yourselves racing up here. But yeah, 4 of you go ahead and come on up. and you will be, you can be the students. And, oh, let's see. Savannah, you want to go first? Why don't you? I did ask, initially I sent out an email to some of these people asking for volunteers, and nobody volunteered, and so I had to pick people. So, you know, go easy on them, I guess. But also, I can pick people to be students as well. So if you need, I need it. If you don't volunteer, you might just get picked. Savannah, do you want this? Okay.
Now we know what it is. And let's just check and make sure. sure that that is where it is. So we go 22 plus 6 equals what? 28. Does it equal 28? Sure does. And it'll work that way every time. Let's try another one.
She led from something they knew and gradually worked to something they didn't know. Anything else? She emphasized the process. Somebody mentioned this too, I think, but and then emphasized it by repetition. And I'm guessing if you'd had more time, I know the way I tend to do this is there's a few things, a few pet phrases I'll just say over and over, and especially when it comes to algebra, you know, what you do to one side, you have to do the other. Like, that's one of my phrases. Just, I'll start saying it and they know where I'm going. What you do to one side, you have to do to the other. That kind of thing, and just repeating it. And you did a little bit of that, even in just those few minutes. Anything else? Okay, let's keep going, and then we'll come back and give you more chance to talk, maybe once you've seen the others as well. So I need four more students. Again, don't hurt yourselves. And let's go with Jeffrey. Can you go next? Go ahead. Do you want the stand? Okay. I'll let you put it where you want it.
All right. Welcome to class. What's your name?
Marcus.
Marcus. Okay. And we have Janelle, Jason, and Hannah. Okay. I enjoy math class, and hopefully we can play a little bit of math here. So we're going to, our lesson today is on hidden questions in story problems. We've learned already how to figure out which steps to take to find the answer in a reading problem. For example, about 2 months ago, I helped milk cows for a few days, and they had the setup that they had. We could bring in 12 cows at a time, and we'd milk them and let them out, and we'd bring in another batch of 12 cows. If we brought in 7 batches of 12 cows, how many cows did we milk? What should we do to figure out should we add, subtract, multiply, or divide to figure out how many cows we milked? Raise your hand. Yes.
Multiply.
Multiply. Multiply 12 cows times 7 batches, or 7 batches times 12 cows. 12 times 7, which is 84 cows. So we milked 84 cows. Now today, we have, I'm going to read the first sentence in our lesson. It says, some problems require you to find a hidden question before you can solve them. So let's just do an example. Let's figure out how many fingers we have in class. Does anybody want to guess how many fingers do we have in class altogether? Off the top of your head. Marcus?
Are you including yourself?
Including the teacher.
50.
50. Okay. Very good. How did you figure that out?
5 times 10.
5 times 10. Where did you get the 10?
This is 5. No one has an amputee.
Okay, very good. So, yes, we have 10 fingers. There's 5 hands, 5 fingers. On either hand, every person has 2 hands, at least last I checked. And so, first of all, we have a hidden question. How many fingers on either hand? We have 2 hands, 2 times 5 equals 10 fingers. Everybody has 10 fingers, or almost, at least. And 5 times 10 equals 50 fingers. We'll do another example. We'll come back to the dairy farm here. So, let's suppose we had 84 cows, and we milked them 3 times a day. We wake up, I think it was 4 o'clock, we go out and milk them, and then we milk them at lunchtime, and then again that evening at 8 o'clock. So 3 times a day. If every cow milked, say 30 pounds of milk, every milking, how many pounds of milk altogether could we get in a day's time? What do you think should be our first step to figure out how many pounds? Marcus.
How many milkings there are.
How many milkings there are, okay? So, you're saying we should go 84 times 3, okay? So then we'll go 84 cows times 3 milkings. Just give the answers as I write. 4 times 3?
12.
12. Carry. 8 times 3?
24.
24 plus 1. 25. So, in a day's time, we milked 252 cows. All right. Next step, what should we do next?
Multiply by 30. They all milk 30 pounds.
That's right. Multiply by 30. 252 cows. Times 30 pounds. Okay, and so what should be our answer here? Let's give the numbers. 0 times 2 equals
0.
And if you remember from previous lessons, now we can, we don't have to go 0 times 2, 0 times 5, 0 times 2. We can just jump one number. So 3 times 2 equals
6.
5 times 3 equals 15. You carry 2 times 3?
7.
Plus 1 equals 7. Very good. So, we got 7,560 pounds of milk in a day's time. So, there you saw how we had to have to find the hidden question first. How many cows did we milk was the hidden question. Or how many cows that we milked all together in a day's time. And then we can figure out how many cows all together. So, every reading problem is different. Some of them, you just, this is where you get to stretch your brain a little bit more. Finding those hidden questions.
That you liked about Jeffrey's presentation?
He was concise. He was very concise.
He was concise, okay.
He used something that every child has.
Oh, yes. I like that too.
He also used a story about himself.
I loved when he launched into a personal story. That's great. And probably, in this case, a story that at least some of your students could relate to. I'm guessing at least somebody in the area has a farm, evidently. This is maybe specific to this setting, but it seemed like Jeffrey wants to build a personal connection with his students. He took time. I'm assuming, you know, usually you're going to know your students' names, but he took the time to figure out the names of the people that were sitting here. That tells me something about you as a person and your style of teaching. Anything else?
Walk the students through each step of the problem and like how to supply the answers for each little step of the problem.
Yes, I like that too. It's not really practical in most of our classrooms, especially with multiple grades, to get your students up there to solve everything for you. But what you did was a good way of still involving them. Instead of you just writing the answers down, you get them to call it out. I like that too. One thing I noticed, something that's important to me, so I noticed it, but I liked the way that even in your example figuring, you always labeled your answers, cows, pounds. I insist on that with my students. And I like that you did it on the board, too. The little bit of self-deprecating humor about, you know, mostly 10 fingers, that goes a long way, too. Just recognize your own foibles and stuff. That's great. Anything else real quick? Okay. 4 more students. And Dolores, you can come get ready to roll.
Who wants to go up first? The teacher wants to.
Do you want a stand?
Sure.
Okay. Well, you can put it wherever you want to.
review that a little bit. We learned about mixed numbers and improper fractions before. So let's see. Who can tell me what's a mixed number?
Anybody? Do you want to be right?
18, well, yeah, 18. And that as an improper fraction is everybody.
18
over 8. So that is our improper fraction here. So do you understand now how an improper fraction can say the same thing as this one? Do you have any questions? Okay, good question. Why did that at the bottom row? Does any of you want to answer? Would you know? That's okay. Each pizza has 8 pieces, right? Now, the bottom number never changes. The bottom number of fraction never changes. Unless you're going to learn more about the fraction.
Especially without some kind of pictures. She did well at just simple, but still having the diagrams up there. You have to use pictures with fractions, and maybe even manipulatives of some sort, like get, I don't know, apples, or bring a pizza in, or pie, I don't know, but you really have to use something, or you'll get, I'm teaching this 4-6 math class, but my classroom is actually 6 through 12, so I'm barely qualified. But those of you in these middle grades, especially where you really introduce fractions, do it well, because I have these upper grade students that don't really understand fractions sometimes yet. So help us out. All right, what else did you like about Dolores' style? Good. Eye contact.
I noticed she, maybe along with that, noticed she, at least most of the time, she smiled at the person that was raising their hand when she, called on them to answer the question. Like, I see that as like welcoming the student to give their input.
Yes. Yeah, it's amazing what just a smile, just a nonverbal acknowledgement can do in making students feel comfortable, welcoming interaction. I liked her way of, we've been talking about interactions here, but I really liked her way of trying hard not to make students feel bad about not knowing something. Like she gave them an opportunity to share their knowledge, but then helped them not to feel bad about it if they didn't know, right? Or if they asked questions. Good question, she said. It's a good response. And then when one student asked a question, you notice she gave other students a chance to answer. That can be effective sometimes. It's good. Okay. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to just kind of open it up now. You can think back to any of the three. Do any of you have questions for them? Like, or questions you'd like to discuss? Why did you do it this way? maybe, you know, are y'all okay with some gentle critiques? Like, what? You know, suggestions you have. So questions and suggestions, or, you know, heap on the praise. What do you want to share? Insist on, and then, you know, but if you're going to make your students do it neatly, probably, you know, don't be a total slob yourself, so.
You know, can somebody help me out? Can you help me out on that? Okay, I told them never to change the denominator.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, she, that was great, though. I'm, where are you? I'm glad you threw an extra question out there. Why don't you change the bottom number? Yeah, practically speaking, how do we answer that?
Since that was the number of pieces per pizza, mm-hmm. that doesn't ever change.
Right.
It's not 24 pieces per pizza.
Yes. Yeah, if you, especially if you're using diagrams like that, you can just talk about, like, we're not suddenly talking about a 24-piece pizza here. We're still talking about 8-piece pizzas. There's just whatever it was. 18 pieces of the, or whatever, yeah, 18 pieces of the 8-piece pizzas here, or something along those lines. I think it's actually, it's okay, maybe sometimes this is a struggle of lower and middle grade teachers, especially, I run into this sometimes even in upper grades, where you teach a concept on a basic level, and you know that they're actually, okay, there's a lot more to it. But yeah, I have to keep it here, right? Sometimes that can be a little difficult. I find that what I often end up doing is just going ahead and telling them anyway, and I'm afraid I get them confused. But now, actually, here, no, just, I don't know. It's okay to just keep it simple and pretty basic and just say, you know, when you're adding, when you're combining fractions, the bottom number, the denominator never changes. Because that's true.
I have a question with that. I've never taught yet, but in a situation like that, would it help to label, like, so the denominator is pieces per pizza, mm-hmm. and the top is, like, pieces left.
Yes.
And so then when we go to figure it out, we're figuring how many pieces are left.
Yeah.
And the pieces per pizza.
Yeah. And there's, I like to talk about, I like to get them really comfortable with terms. Like, they need to know what the numerator and the denominator mean. But labeling it or talking about it in simpler language can really help. Just to say, yeah, the numerator is the number of things we're talking about in this problem, and the denominator is the number of the total number of things that there are, for example. Something along those lines.
A question about the story problems. How do you, a lot of my students, my first team, they deal with a lot, they deal with a lot. I'm just going to do that, especially struggle with it. They seem to have a hard time with any story problem, mm-hmm. especially the ones with hidden questions.
That's actually that unusual. That, I mean, as much as we wish it wasn't this way, a lot of times your students they're very efficiency minded when it comes to doing their work. They may not be in other things necessarily, but they really want to, like, the shortest path from here to getting my work done is what they want. And so if I can look at a problem and just say, oh, there's a number and looks like maybe I add, let's try it, you know, instead of actually reading the problem. So you do have to insist that they read the problem, that's part of it, and maybe read it a couple of times. But part of what you're talking about is a comprehension issue too. What do y'all have to say about how do you help students understand what it is that the story problem's asking? I have some of that too. I've got one that's going into her senior year that's pretty much like that. But, and some of it for this particular student is just some, you know, she's actually got fetal alcohol syndrome and is on the autism spectrum. There's a lot going on. But yeah, comprehension like that. She struggles with that, you know, kind of higher level of thought. But I've found the same thing. If I can reword stuff a little bit, make sure she read it, right? But then be willing to, you know, step back and reword it. Okay, so we have this and we have this. You know, here are the help them to figure out. Pull out the important information. Okay, this is important to know. Maybe as you read over it the second or third time, you can be like, now that's important, and this is important. And then what are we asking for here? So what do we do? You know, help them to think through that process. I don't know that there's a magic bullet necessarily, but. Any other thoughts on that? Comprehension is a whole other workshop. And I'm afraid it's getting worse. The internet is not helping you. It's not your friend in this. TikTok is horrible for comprehension.
I for sure try to make sure that they've read it before I've read it.
Yes.
Before
we start. Yeah. That oral reading, sometimes even just the student hearing themselves read it can really make a difference. At least it's coming through their eyes and their ears that way.
Some problems you can switch out the numbers from like 1, 2, and 3 of really simple numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And that helps them see it.
Yeah.
Not if that's the problem.
Yeah. Simplify it down. If this said this, what would you do? Yeah.
I think you already mentioned it, but they have to know what it's asking for.
Yes. Right.
Someone can try to skip that part. Mm-hmm. Just gotta work the numbers any other way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and this gets really tricky when they start throwing extra distractors in there, you know, extra numbers that aren't important to the problem, which is it's an important life skill to be able to sort of narrow down, okay, this is what's important and this is what's not. But for some students, that's almost impossible. And we're getting into the realm of, you know, some learning disabilities and comprehension issues and stuff here, but helping them the best you can to try to see what's important and what's not and pick out what they need to know for this problem. Well, that was the bell. You're dismissed, but I am happy to stay here and keep talking. So if y'all have further questions or discussions, share away, but if you need to go, you can go. Thank you again.